We hear you. Oh, we hear how restless you are in that work Zoom call. You want to see what's happening in the world of sport in the quiet, don't you? Scroll through the OTB Sports app, catch the latest sports headlines, and bookmark those podcasts you want to get stuck into as soon as this meeting is over. Nobody will know. The OTB Podcast Network with GetSet Go. Are you ready for quick start car insurance? Get a quote today at GetSetGo.ie.
GAA on Off the Ball.
Well, the 2021 All-Ireland Football and Hurling Championships are almost upon us. Only a few months since we had them last time round as well. And Sky Sports are back covering it again this summer. 18 championship matches across the big and small ball for Sky Sports, including all six of the All-Ireland semis and finals across both codes as well. Kieran Donaghy, four-time All-Ireland winner with Kerry and now member of the Armagh backroom team, is going to be part of that coverage as well. Old friend of the show, Kieran Donaghy, as well. We haven't seen you in a while, Kieran. What's been up?
I tell you, boy, you weren't long forgetting about me.
God almighty. Like, I mean, was it all those Monday mornings on OTBM that you were so sick of that you had to go the whole way up to Armagh just to come up with an excuse? I mean, we can take a hint.
No. I was saying, no, I enjoyed my time in with the lads. But doing enough travelling without trying to get into the after ball studio as well, the lads. But they're doing good stuff now, enjoying the football pod with Andy, Moran and Paddy Andrews, and Tommy Rooney's doing a good job in the middle of it. So it's good stuff. Always been produced by you boys. We're well aware of that, but. Looking forward to the football championship ahead and covering some of the games of Sky Sports. It's something I've enjoyed over the last 2 years and actually got a lot of learnings of working with the likes of Jim and Peter and Sinan Connell inside in the studio. You pick up some stuff off them, and it's that's good for a young fella like myself.
Absolutely. And was the fact that you were up and down the country, you know, live at the ground so often across the last couple of years with Sky, still keeping your toe dipped in the game as such, that probably kept the drive in you, that when an opportunity like Armagh came up, it was something you wanted to take? Or had it always been in your mind maybe to get into the coaching?
The coaching was probably always in my mind. You know, I got in with the Galway Hurlers the year after I retired, and that was throwing myself in the deep end. And I read a good article by Ron Nogara there, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and he was talking about not going into a comfort zone, but going the other way, throwing yourself into uncomfortable situations, and that was certainly an uncomfortable situation for me. But the boys, in fairness, were brilliant. The Galway boys were brilliant to me getting up there. I took the Tralee IT last year. So coaching is, you know, I would have, you know, I do my basketball camps the last 5 or 6 years. So I like the coaching side of it and trying to learn, because you have a good knowledge as a player, but you know, there's a bit of practice in the coaching side of it as well as anything else. And even though you might have a great idea or something, it's actually, you know, the challenge is getting that across their group. So covering the game with Sky was obviously the broadcasting was something I did like and enjoyed. And I was Sky is something that has been kind of really good to me over the last number of years. And and as I said, the learnings that I've got working with the team, even Brian Kearney and Rachel and Ron in studio, you know, on the broadcasting side of it was really enjoyable as well. And you know, certainly hot and ball off Peter Kennevin, you have to be very much on your toes for Peter. He'd cut you in half with a look. And he loves nothing better than surprising you live on air with a little jibe to see how you handle it. So he's king of the trash talkers, and he has the persona of being the nice gentle guy out of myself and Jim maybe, but he's a stealth assassin behind it all.
And himself and Jim as well, I presume, as well. They've been in your ear now for the last few years telling you just how great Ulster football is. So you had to come up and get involved.
Yeah, no, they certainly were. And they've certain perceptions of other championships. And but obviously, look, the amount of counties that are competitive in Ulster, in the Ulster Championship is huge. And yeah, no, certainly when Kieran asked me to get involved, having played with him, you know, as a player in 06 with the international rules team, played against him, and obviously he was a coach of mine down in Australia, and you know, having heard and talked a lot of the Kildare boys and the love and affection they had for him as a manager, and the fact that he would do anything for his players, you know, certainly was a big factor in it. And plus my job having me in Dublin on a Thursday and Friday makes it feasible to get up and down to two sessions a week, which is what I'm doing. So it's been really enjoyable, yeah.
And yeah, that kind of leads me to, how has it been so far? Obviously, with the way the season's gone and things have been curtailed, you're still probably only just kind of in the door as such there with the, you know, the way, obviously you couldn't have been training for the first few months of the year. You're really just a couple of months in there. I presume there were a lot of like Zoom calls, getting to know the players, things like that, before you were actually on the ground with the tracksuit and the whistle.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, there was, you know, Zoom was probably the only way we could communicate. Obviously, sure, everybody was in local 5-kilometer lockdowns, and you couldn't meet anybody anyway. So, you know, whether I was living up there or down here, it didn't really matter. It was all done through the Zoom initially. And I think was it the 4th of April or something, whatever that Monday was, that we were able to go back training. We got stuck into it in full flow. And it's been kind of, I suppose, you know, a very interesting journey, I would say, over the last number of weeks. You know, I think the GAA could have done a better job and maybe given teams a bit more time to get ready for the intensity. And I think we're probably seeing a lot of injuries on the back of it. And we've been small bit unlucky with a lot of contact injuries, actually knees and ankles and stuff like that. We've been quite good on the muscle sides of it. Our backroom team there, Julie, who does all the physical training with the lads, and Shay as head physio, have the boys in great shape. But we've just been a bit unlucky with some ankle rolls and bits and pieces like that. So, you know, it was quite a short window to get guys up to game speed, because Neil, you can run all the straight lines and you can do all the gym you want, but the split second reaction of deciding to chase somebody, and you know, the split second reaction of going for a ball, getting a bang at the wrong time when you haven't taken a bang in 6 months nearly, is something that you, no matter what you do in physical preparation, you can't actually prepare the body for that side of things, or it's very hard to, at least. So it was fairly full on there, trying, you know, get through the games, and try and hold our squad together. We as I said, we've been unlucky with a few bad contact injuries, so we're firefighting, but the boys that have come in have done really well. So it's been really intense, you know. I think the players on the step up from Division 3 to Division 2 and now obviously into Division 1, you know, they've reacted very well to it.
Are the players now at that level of the season where, even though, as you said, the pre-season part of it had to be quite rushed, and you've had to play 3 matches already so far as well, are they kind of at the point now where, you know, there's one game left in a league campaign, you're on the verge of championship, that you are at the right pitch now in terms of fitness and match sharpness?
No, I would say there's probably still another bit to go, I would say, with fellas, because we haven't been able to train in the last 3 weeks, because obviously the games are every weekend. So, you know, when we have to rush so much in 3 weeks, and then you have games every week, the midweek is trying to keep bodies fit and healthy and maybe go over a few bits and pieces. But, you know, I think, you know, the next week and a half, and then we've obviously a huge game against Roscommon to come, who are going really well as well. Pushed Kerry very, very far last Sunday. You know, you're after that, then, you know, you're going to have a lot of sore bodies again. So you're going to have to, that early part of the following week will be curtailed a bit. And then you probably have about a 2-week window, because the third week is the first round of the Ulster Championship. So, you know, the calendar might read 3 weeks, but really you can only get 2 weeks proper training in, because you're a week coming down off a game and you're at 3 or 4 days out from a game. You can't be going too hard either. So probably next month we'll get fellas up to proper pace, I would say.
Yeah, and in terms of what you've seen on the pitch, like, it's been it's been fairly cutthroat this season with the way the league is, where you have three games. Looking at the table earlier on, like yourselves and Tyrone were separated by 4 points on a table. I know Tyrone actually beat you, but like they scored 2 points more and conceded 2 points less. They have a crack at winning Division One, whereas in a week's time, Armagh in theory could be relegated to Division Two. Like the margins are so small. And the prizes and punishments are obviously so heavy at this point of the campaign that I would imagine you have to kind of remove yourself just from the scoreboard as such and look at it as say a win, a draw, a loss so far. It's a reasonable take, you know?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And look, it is, I suppose, it is very tight. The margins are very tight from, you know, us being in a, you know, when the whistle blew, I think Monaghan were with a minute to go in our game, Monaghan were winning by a point and it looked like we'd be going through. And then Tyrone obviously equalised with Matty Donnelly in the 77th minute and then took the lead, and then Monaghan came down and got the equaliser. So, you know, that last few minutes were quite intense, trying to get messages onto the players to let them know, you know, what was going on. You know, the draw is good enough. Actually, the draw is not good enough. You know, so it was a fairly hectic last few minutes. But that's how tight it is. Look, and we're reasonably happy with how we performed and the level of consistency that we showed. And you know, that Tyrone game, even though we did lose by 4 points, you know, we were right in it at stages, and momentum swings were huge in that game. So yeah, look, it's been a huge learning curve for the players, and I must say, you know, they have to take huge credit in how they've adapted to life in this intense Division One with only 3 weeks of prep for it, having not played it before, any of them. So it's a huge step up in pace. I haven't even heard Andy Moore on Off the Ball on the football pod the last day talking about, you know, being at the Mayo West Mead game. And you know, he said he'd been playing Division One football his whole career with Mayo, and he hadn't been to too many Division Two games. And he said that he thought there was a quite a fall in the level of intensity, not the level of skill or quality on show, but actually that level of intensity that comes with Division One and the speed and pace of it. So, you know, our boys have to get great credit for managing that on a 3 week build up. But you know, I think all the divisions and, you know, and all the leagues have been super intense. And I think, you know, I think the score lines and the brand of football that's been played, Neil, is very appealing to the eye. And, you know, it's the game that I love, Gaelic football. And, you know, there's an awful lot of people bashed it for a while when the score lines weren't too high in their numbers. But I think certainly so far this year, the level of football and the scoring and the level of accuracy by players on show and the brand that we're putting out there has been absolutely outstanding so far from all four divisions, and the quality of score lines. When you see 122 to 125, you know, even looking at Antrim, you know, we're playing them in the first round of the Ulster Championship, and they're scoring 3-16 and winners in the last minutes of games and hugely entertaining games and high scoring games. So that's great for the brand of Gaelic football. And, you know, even that's all on top of, you know, teams just getting 3 weeks to get ready for it. So, you know, it's football's in a good place at the moment. And when it is in a good place, I think we should talk about it being in a good place, because we're quick enough to bash it when it's not.
Yeah, we certainly are. And particular, I know we joked about it earlier on about Peter Canavan and Jim McGuinness getting in your ear telling you how great Ulster football is. But like the matches have shown, the scorelines have shown this season. And if you were to look back at last year's Ulster Championship, it's been a trend for the last few years that the much maligned Ulster Championship for probably the previous two decades has been having an absolute renaissance for the last few years. But the quantity of scores, the quality of scores, the quality of play all round. Is it a case where you have such a competitive provincial championship? And as we've seen here, like the northern section of the league as well, is so competitive between Armagh, Donegal, Tyrone, Cavan winning it last year. Like there are so many teams. Derry seem to be on the up as well at the moment as well. Antrim, as you've mentioned a couple of minutes ago as well, that when you have that many teams, that the competition ultimately is going to breed quality.
It is, yeah, and you've got the whole, I suppose you've got the whole factor with all those teams, and you know, the knockout element last year and this year has brought such an edge to every game. There's no back door, there's no breathing space. If you have a day where you don't perform, or if you have a day where somebody, you know, does something silly and gets sent off, you know, there's no comeback for you. So, you know, and we saw that last year with Kerry, you know, just not at the pitch of it and didn't perform overly well. And Cork, who came to play and performed really well and got a win. And then 3 weeks after, it's roles reversed again, where, you know, your Tipperary come down and they turn up the heat and they put in a big, huge performance. And, you know, Cork don't bring the same level of performance that they brought the week before. So that whole element of knockout, you know, is definitely another added factor. And, you know, I think hopefully now that the news breaking that there's going to be, you know, crowds back in the games. And I think with the vaccine levels being ramped up and the amount of people that are going to get vaccinated over the coming weeks, you'd hope them numbers increase. And, you know, I think players and I think football will even rise again further in the summer with quality levels when you know, we're starting to get to maybe the 10 or 15 thousands into these big venues and you're getting a bit of a buzz of an atmosphere because teams put out the performance they did last year. And I was at the games with Sky and there's nobody in the crowd. You know, it's you can hear a pin drop. You can hear every message from the subs coming down, from the management coming down. You can hear everything so clearly, but like, you know, even with the crowd coming back, it's going to make for it even better. And look, I think, you know, the Leinster Championship is probably the one, obviously, that Dublin have a stranglehold on at the moment. But, you know, given what happened in Munster last year and your competition in Connacht and Ulster, it's going to make for a really enjoyable year of Gaelic football.
Mm-hmm. Now, we aren't fully in love with the game at the moment. The advanced mark has been taking a bit of a battering over the last couple of months. How have you found it so far this season?
Yeah, look, I think the ideas around the advanced mark, and I think what they were trying to bring in, Neil, was akin to maybe what we see in hurling, a bit more 50-50 ball, more ball pucked in, that bit of excitement, people on the edge of their seat. But, you know, the original rule was something like outside the 45 and into the 21, which means the ball would be hanging for 2 or 3 seconds, which means it'd be in the air long enough to create a competition, which was the original rule, or maybe what was talked about day one. But this tweak to 20 meters and, you know, fellas tipping little balls across the line. And, you know, I think if you kept it from the 45 into the 21, or even went further into 45 into the 13, you know, what you're getting then is a mark if somebody catches a big ball in around the house, which is, you know, obviously something that, you know, I tried to do for Kerry for a long time, and I was often in vain catching a big ball and landing and having four fellas not even jump at me and just wrap me up in the ground and me get called for over carrying. So I was a fan of it originally in its original format for what it was brought in. But I think, you know, I think we have to catch on to ourselves with the amount of tweaking we're doing and how hard we are making things. And I think the referees have done an incredible job so far this year with what's been thrown at them, because I've refereed a few in-house games and a few in-house training sessions in Armagh. You know, with all the rules, you really want to be a rocket scientist to know what's going on at times. So I think we could strip back, you know, maybe talk to teams, get some feedback. The GAA could go and get some feedback from club managers and club teams at the end of this year, and indeed intercounty managers and players. And let's see what, you know, what the people that are out there putting the product on display feel about them, and maybe take that back to people at Congress and see if there wants to be something done, because some of them are definitely head scratchers and maybe over tweaking them, trying to be too smart with them. Maybe if we'd have kept that mark simple outside the 45, inside the 21, it means the ball would be in the air so long that it has to be a contest. And I think that's what people wanted to see. I think what's bugging people so much about it is we're seeing very little contest with the mark, you know, and
it's constant mark. Players finding space, you know, yeah, out around the pitch, and it's just slowing.
Yeah, down. Exactly. And it's not what, you know, the Aussie rules. What makes the mark so good is the ball is, you know, there's all the little zippy ones around the field, but then it's the ones where they're coming down the pitch and they're trying to get it inside, and they've got the big man or they've got somebody inside that's a good ball winner and they want to put it into them. I think that's the one that I don't think, even if they tweet that, you know, I think people would enjoy that aspect of balls going in 50-50 to people competing for them. And if a forward wins that kind of a ball over somebody or catches it or puts a knee in somebody's back and climbs above them, I think that's what I envisaged, certainly, when they were talking about the mark coming in, not what we've got. So certainly looking at some of them and either getting rid of them totally or tweaking them to make it simple. Because even the whole thing with the 20 metres, when a guy is running flat out, he's coming up to the 45 and there's a guy running out against him, you know, is the 20 metres from the ball is kicked? Is it, how does it look when they both come together and the player catches the ball and how close are they then? And, you know, it's a very hard one to referee, and even the whole hand up dilemma now where the refs are blowing the whistle and players are subconsciously thinking, oh, he's blowing the whistle, I've got a mark, but if they don't put up their hand. So like, it's just, it's quite complicated. And I think we could strip it back and make it very simple and allow players and even allow the ref common sense to say if there's a ball kicked in from 50 yards and the guy catches it and he lands with four people around him, that you just give him the mark because he can't get out of there. Or if he catches it in there and lands towards goals, that you leave him going and have his goal chance. But yeah, look, it's you know, I think what the players and what the players are doing around the country has to be hugely admired for the product they're putting out. But certainly what's coming down from Congress at times is overly complicated and could be really looked at and tried to be simplified or gotten rid of altogether.
To go off on a brief little tangent there, you mentioned stepping in, reffing a couple of training matches between yourselves. What's Kieran Donaghy, the referee, like? I'd imagine let the game flow, is it?
I think when Kieran McGeaney refs in the backs get everything, and I think when Kieran Donaghy refs in the forwards get everything. So I think we're going to have to get somebody of a neutral standpoint. We're going to have to find either a referee to come in full time or maybe a midfielder who might be somewhere in the middle to come in and referee them. But yeah, no, it's I actually can't believe how calm the players are when we are reffing the game. And you know, I think Kieran demanded a lot of respect when he was refereeing games maybe before I got up there. So I think that might be a part of it.
What are you like as a coach is what I'd like to know as well. Have you kind of found the, do you enjoy all of it, or is there maybe a certain part of it that you enjoy? Do you enjoy being out on the pitch with the whistle in your hands running the drills? Do you enjoy the man management side of things, or is it the, you know, afterwards doing the analysis of the training session, watching things back on the video? Like, is it all of that, or are there certain elements of it that you do kind of gravitate towards?
Yeah, look, I drills, I like to keep them kind of simple. I think it's the less complication, just trying to get a simple drill with decision making involved is what I'd be more trying to focus on. But yeah, no, I'm probably finding my feet as a coach at this level. And, you know, I said that to the boys when I got up there, that I'm largely inexperienced in this role, and that I'm very open to any feedback that the boys or the management team have to help me improve. But no, it's I like the one-to-one stuff. I like talking to players. I like talking with the management on the tactical side of it and stuff that we can do. And, you know, it's all... it's very much a learning experience for me, Neil, and I'm just trying to get better, I suppose, that I can give these players more, and I'm constantly looking to try and improve on that side of things.
Is there a certain role that you have within this setup at the moment, or are you essentially like you're just part of the everyday coaching setup? You're kind of involved in all aspects of the training.
Yeah, sorry, my internet connection just went a bit here where there for a second, but yeah, no, I didn't get the start of that question, but yeah, I'm a coach and a selector with them, and it's something that, you know, that I really look forward to getting involved in, and that, you know, lockdown was very frustrating for me because all I was doing was watching videos on games over the last number of years that they'd played in, and seeing little bits and stuff and not really being able to do anything with it. So, you know, Kieran did a good job in putting a lot of Zooms together at the start of the year to try and get some messages across to the players that we could, you know, introduce when we got onto the pitch, and not, you know, give them, not to be out there in the training field talking about stuff that they've never heard before. So he did a good job in kind of correlating our thoughts as coaches, along with Kieran McKeever and Dennis Hollywood, as a backroom team, that we were, you know, able to talk and kind of project our thoughts to the players. So when we got up to the training pitch and when we were able to finally get going, as I said, at the start of April, was around that side of things, being able to bring stuff that they knew what we were looking for.
Would your perspective change at all approaching it from a coach's point of view rather than when you were a player?
I think it's easier to have answers as a player, because it's just your thoughts, and you know, it's unless somebody unless some of the management want to take it on board, they'll remain your thoughts and your ideas. Whereas when you are involved in the backroom team, you've got to bring it to the backroom team first. You've got to sell them on it, and then you've got to go sell the players, and then you've all that done, and then you're trying to hope it works out in the training pitch and hope that you start seeing some of the stuff you're talking about pay off and work. It's been a challenge, obviously, having only 3 weeks to get some of the ideals from all of our perspectives in, whether it be Dennis, whether it be Kieran McKeever working with the backs and Kieran overall. Kieran McKinney is probably a bit easier. He's got the two goalies. He gets quite a lot of one-on-one time with them. He's doing, you know, working really hard with the boys and doing a good job with them. So it's kind of, it's been a challenge. And then obviously midweek, as I said to you earlier on with the three games, it's been hard, because, you know, we haven't been able to train basically midweek. There's only so much you can do. You're trying to review the game the week before, and you're trying to build up for another game, and you're trying to keep the bodies fresh as well.
And how's it been off the pitch then as well? Because you mentioned like that you're used to the traveling with work and things like that. You're up in Dublin quite a lot, so you're obviously a good bit closer to being able to call up for training and things like that. How has the time management side of things been working out, particularly in the last couple of months, obviously, since you've been actually back on the pitch training?
Yeah, no, it's been good. You know, there's been some late nights, I won't lie, trying to get video done with or driving back or whatever, you know, but that's something I was very aware of. And in fairness, Colin, my boss in PST Sport, he was kind of, you know, we've got a good few leads in the north with pitches. I'm obviously able to get up there easier when I'm training. And obviously we're very busy with jobs that we're doing in Dublin. So it's the time management has been okay, because I was always kind of, even when I was working with off the ball, you know, I would have done it on the days that I was working in Dublin, obviously, because, you know, driving up for OTBAM at 7 o'clock in the morning wasn't an option. So I was getting
our mileage isn't great either, you know.
No. I was getting from, you know, Kill and getting in there from a family member that lives out there. So it was much more open to me to obviously do this. You know, if I had a job like I used to, you know, this option would have never been available to me. But they've been very understanding in work as well, in knowing that, you know, they see how hard I work on the business side of things. And obviously the sales of the pitches are continuing to come in more and more. So I think if we weren't selling pitches, or we weren't selling artificial grass landscapers around the place, around Ireland, maybe there might be questions being asked, Neil, but thankfully, as sales director, once the sales keep coming in, I'll get away with helping the lads above. So it's you know, I've been very lucky to have support at home as well. My wife's very supportive of me in this avenue of where I'm looking to go as a coach. And you know, my mom has been able to jump in the odd day where I need her to maybe lend a helping hand. So kind of have all bases covered, and really enjoying the challenges of everything that they bring to me.
And finally then, Armagh, it feels like they've been a team now for the last couple of years that have been kind of knocking on that door, waiting to get through. What has to happen for Armagh to actually just beat down that door? Is that the next step now? How close are they to doing that?
Look, you know, I think every team asks themselves that question you know, when a year starts out, and you know, there's no doubt that there's the level of footballers in Armagh to break down the door. They've got one of the best managers in the game. So you know, the county board are particularly, you know, supportive of Kieran and what he wants to do. So, you know, everything is there for them. And I think they're putting in tremendous amount of work during the off season, during COVID, with strength and conditioning and running. So yeah, look, the pieces are in place, and they're up where they wanted to go. And as you rightly say, they've climbed through the divisions. And they represented themselves with real kind of pride, I suppose, and honor the way they represented the Armagh jersey over the last few weeks, playing against teams that are well used to Division One football, and holding their own. So look, they'll be we're all looking forward to breaking down the door, but there's a big job to take care of in 2 weeks against Roscommon, and that's where the focus will be lying now.
All right. Well, Kieran, it's been a pleasure chatting to you this afternoon. Very best of luck for the summer ahead with both Armagh and with all the matches as well with Sky Sports across the summer.
GAA on Off the Ball.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetSetGo. Are you ready for quick start car insurance? Get a quote today at GetSetGo.ie.